You see my point? If the doctor gives you bad news, but he says it's okay, we got it, you're okay. And for the believer, we understand Jesus has got this. Now that's hard to get there, because what happens is we still come to Christ with 99% of our assumptions. And just 1% that Jesus will save me. I don't know where you are today. Are you at 5% or 10% or 15, 20, 50, 80, 90? Where are you? Are you resting? Because you can get more understanding. He gives a bit of explanation. It's in order. You get up, you fall down. You get up, you fall down. That's what you do. Especially in the beginning. Hopefully you're getting more momentum and you're getting a little bit more, you know, track record. You get a few months behind before you stumble. Oh man, stink. There I am again. There's a song by a contemporary artist called Clumsy. You know, so I feel so clumsy. He says, by 30 years I should have had this down by now, but I don't. And you're going to fall down sometimes. You're going to fall into anger, lust, greed, covetousness. You're going to fall down. You're going to mess up. But you get back up if you understand more. But you won't get back up if you're still at 1% because you never read your Bible. You're not really applying your doctrine. You go to the psychology variety of preaching rather than the biblical variety. He says in verse 10, he says, the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be death unto me, or found to be unto death. Literally, he's saying the commandment was which was unto life, I found to be unto death. Take out all the added words. That's what he's saying. The commandment that was unto death, I found to be unto life was unto death. And what he's saying is this. This law is good. Because this law represents God. It represents His heart. Every one of the Ten Commandments represents His heart. If you break them into two pieces, you've got the law toward God and the law toward man. You know, gang, listen. What is the first commandment with promise? You shall, what? Obey or love your parents? Honor your mom and your dad? First commandment with promise? Young people, you do not understand that right now, you have complete control over your parents' hearts. And as you get older, you can make their lives miserable by being bad, or you can make them delight by being good. You will know it later. You'll get some kids one day. And when you make a bad decision, your parents wrench at night. When you make a good decision, they're just at peace. All is well in the world. But you don't know that. You think, oh, I hate them. At times you feel like, I wish I didn't have to live here. Or you think this, that, or the other. The bottom line is, if you will understand that God says, I am for you, and I've got the way of good and sweet before you, and it is in honoring your parents and realizing that that is your anchor. If you'll just say, well, I know if I did this, mom and dad would be really disappointed. If you'll let that help you, it'll help you over a lot of bad decisions you might want to make right now. Okay, God is He's protective. He's not prohibitive. He's not about telling you not to do things. He's about telling you what works. That's what the law is. Okay, it exposes, though, the propensity in us to want to do the wrong. And so he said, when I got in face of the law, he said, it became death unto me. And then he came down in verse 11, he says, for sin, again, taking occasion. He says it in verse 8, taking occasion. And here he says it again, for sin taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. There are three things that happened with sin here in these verses we've just read. First of all, because the law was interjected, sin appeared. Sin appeared. It exposed sin, right? I didn't know it till it was there. It appeared. The second thing that happened is sin made an appeal. It beguiled me. It deceived me. In verse 11, he says, sin took occasion and deceived me. The word deceived is a very interesting word. It literally means to get you completely out of the way. The word pateo, we get the word patio from it, is the word that means walk. And he says, it completely destroyed your walk. When the law came in, you realized you were broken. And guess what? Didn't like the word. You're broken. So what happened? You said, well, I'm not broken. Look at everybody else. I'm as good as they are. And you're walking criminal. We go out and play softball. I just got to say, this is kind of spiritual illustration. We go out. We all look good. We all look greased up. By the end of the game, we're all limping off the field. We all got a knee problem or a shoulder problem or a head problem. Or we got hit. We walk away maimed, but I'll tell you, we bring it when we go to play softball. I mean, these guys know they're hurting and they go out anyway. Court's got to work for a living. He's his own businessman. He's got to go out. He's out there and he's hobbling out of there at the end of the night. But he's bringing it. What I'm saying is that's like you and me. We don't like being told we don't like seeing in the mirror that we're broken. So we what? We change the mirror. But the believer doesn't. The believer has learned to embrace the mirror. The mirror has told me that I'm broken. And I needed to know that. And now as God's child, I need to be a mirror to my world. You ever heard somebody say, you're the only Bible some people will ever read? You are the only law they'll understand. When you say, I don't do some things, it gets their attention. Well, I can do whatever I want. All things are lawful, the Bible says, but not all things are expedient or helpful. All things are lawful, but all things are not profitable. But all things are lawful, but I won't be brought under the power of any. Three times in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he says, all things are lawful. Man, that means, woohoo, let's go party and do. Listen, gang, we are supposed to be establishing the law, but what we're doing is we are clouding it up in our generation. Have you ever stopped for a moment to listen to some of the Christian music? Craig was very interesting the other night. He was moving his stuff in his room, and I had the music playing, and there was a song on there, and it had an upbeat, and it says, I lay it all down is the whole idea of the song. The song is all about, you know, I'm giving up or something like that. She's saying about, and it's all up. I'm giving up. And Craig laughed. And he said, well, man, if you're giving up, it's ridiculous that that's an upbeat sound. I'm giving up. When you give up, it's a death. And our world thinks that as long as the words are okay, the music is, doesn't matter. The music is sanctified. You know what? The holy never makes the unholy clean, except in the case of Jesus. What happens is the unholy defiles the holy. And it's so with our music today sometimes. So be careful. Get your eyes in your head when you listen to certain things. Say, that's not really what I want. You have to be discerning. But the Bible says in this passage that sin exposes, law exposes sin. And what happens is that sin deceives me, leads me out, and it slays me. Now, that means it kills you. Now, that's kind of interesting. I don't know where I've seen it, but I've seen it somewhere pictured where somebody in some drama somewhere looked at somebody they thought that was going to be their friend, and they looked at him and said, you killed me. You killed me. You think sin's going to be your friend when you're lost. You think it's going to serve you well. You think being greedy, you think being immoral, you think somehow being ruthless is going to serve you. Being proud, being dog-eat-dog, you think that's going to serve you. And maybe it will on the surface, but it's going to kill you. It will kill you. And for those who are circumspect and see it as it comes, they're starting to think, man, this water's getting kind of high. Pretty soon, right? You begin to, wait a minute, this isn't a good idea. Guys, listen. We establish the law. And when I say we, I mean those of us who know Jesus. And not everyone who names the name of Christ is a Christian, child of God. Do you establish it? Are you okay with the law kind of reflecting? You know what the Bible says? It says, men love darkness rather than light. Why? Deeds are evil, right? They run for the shadows. This passage says that the believer in Paul has thought long and hard about this. Yeah, I just think it's funny. He's writing this. And he's got like several chapters to go. He's going to go to 16 chapters. He's in the middle of it. He's writing this like this is second knowledge. Get me? This is second nature to him. He says, we understand this. Don't we? Do we understand that this is what it is? Because this is what we should understand. And he wrote it with such fluidity. You know, they didn't have whiteout. I don't think his manuscripts were scribbled. Well, wait a minute. I don't like the way I wrote that. He wrote it fluidly under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God, by His Spirit, breathed this word out to you and me. And He said, we establish the law. And the law, first of all, because we understand the law reveals sin. Look at verse 12. It says, wherefore the law is, or therefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy. You know what he's saying? You know, we don't know what that word means. But let me just give you a little heads up. Whenever you see the word holy about as an adjective or a describer of something, it means it's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. I remember, told this one before, but I'll tell it again because it's been a while. But when I was a kid, young man, dating my wife, we're over at Kingwood, and this big old locust came on my shoulder. And I went, you know, kind of an awesome thing. You know, I'm those little flies. I'm not used to locusts. I don't play outside much, you know. Squid like a girl. I don't think I did, but other people said that were standing around that I know. Idea. We have this big thing fly on our shoulder, and we're like, whoa. You know, that was kind of an awesome thing because it blew my sensibilities. And maybe you've had a snake. We had a big old snake down in Virginia when we were living down there. I had to kill that thing with a hoe. cut it in pieces. Heck! That was kind of gruesome. But it was a big snake. Things that scare you. Awesome things. Guess what? The law is holy. It's an awesome thing. The commandment is holy. It's an awesome thing. And it ought to make you freaked out. It ought to startle you. It ought to come to your doorstep and make you tremble a little bit because you're standing on holy ground. This word says, don't do this. Do that. It says, this is the way to life. Few there be that find it. And the law and the commandment is an awesome thing. And that's okay. We're okay with that. Because our Father's got our back. You can be okay with it if your Father's got your back. What you see in verse 13 is he's really kind of summing it up. He says, was then that which is good made death unto me? It's not that which was good that's made death unto me. Ultimately, what he's saying, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase this a little bit because in the King James it's a little bit hard to get the full sense of it. Read it as I read these words, okay, in verse 13. Sin, in order that it might appear as a sin producing death in me reality. Sin, that it might appear. A sin producing death in me reality. Sin producing death in me reality. God gave us this law, and he exposed this sin producing death in me reality. I'll read it again. Sin, in order that it might appear as a sin producing death in me reality, was exposed through that which is good. The law God gave us to let us know we were in trouble. Now, I'm going to illustrate this in something you may have seen. You may have seen a drug bust on TV, the news, or whatever. Drama. CSI, whatever. They got the drugs, right? What do? They take a little piece of it, they put it in a little thing, they put a little solution in there, shake it up. If it turns color, what? It's drugs. They're in trouble, right? That's what the law did. The law was the thing that said, here it is, you're in big trouble. And you needed to know it because it was going to kill you. It was going to kill you. And that's what he's saying the law did. It exposed sin. And he actually restates it by saying it again, in order that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. He's saying the commandment made it clearly a threat. And what does Paul say he concluded? He concluded that, first of all, it appeared. Secondly, that it appealed. It deceived me. It appealed to me. And then thirdly, it appalled me. Okay? It slew me. Okay? Now we move into the second section, verse 15, or 14. He's saying something we know. He says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I, carnal. I want to read it with, instead of but, put and in there. We know that the law is spiritual and I am carnal, or fleshly, sold under sin. What's he saying? Well, he's telling us, he's getting ready to tell us that the law excites the soul, okay? The law exposes sin, but it excites the soul. And what he's going to show us here is that he has a relationship with this law now. Okay? His relationship with this law is very hard. In chapter 8, he's going to show us how to get free from the hardness of it. But it's a little difficult at first. He says that we were sold under... He says, I know I was sold under sin. I know that... I was sold over. Adam blew it. You know, I received a sin nature. I was broken. You know, like an epileptic, you know, I thrashed and didn't even know sometimes that I was hurting people, you know, phasing out, complete delirium, okay? Blindness, don't know what's going on, and I'm doing all kinds of bad things. He said, that's the world I grew up in. The devil was there, the sin nature was there, you know, the world made its appeal. All of it was against me. And there I was, sold under sin. I'm in a world that's broken. He says, in verse 15, he says, for, and here's some explanations of how he knows it. He says, for... In verse 15, what I do not allow, or what I do, I allow not, which means what I want to do, I really don't want to do. This is where I say you can't lose the forest for the trees. He's saying the things that I do, I don't do them because I want to. It's sort of I'm broke. Have you ever felt like that? You know? Have you ever felt like that? Some of you thought a thought, you know, somebody said the thought's not the problem. It's when you let the birds make a nest in your head. Yeah, that's when you got a problem. Temptation is not the problem. It's when you give way to temptation and make provision for the temptation. But what he's saying is, I do stuff that I don't want to do. And then he says, I don't do stuff that I want to do. And I'm just going to leave it at that. The whole passage goes back and forth with that. But I want to draw your attention down to verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, or I'm not willing to do, I consent unto the law that it is good. What he's saying is, you write this down if you want to keep this in your mind. Verse 16, he's saying, I declare it is good. By my disposition, by my heart, I live in a reality that is twisted and I stumble and I get my knees scraped up. But you know what? All along the way, my heart is saying, your law is good and I hate what I am and what I've become and what I'm doing. You say, that sounds harsh. He's going to say, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Okay, he's saying, I hate what I do. The problem you and I have is we don't hate what we do. And the reason we don't hate it sometimes is because we're not letting God explain to us how He's going to get us by it. Because we don't understand that 99% of knowledge of Christ will give you a place to rest. And He's going to get you to that even in this chapter in a word. But in verse 16 He says, I consent unto the law. I agree unto the law. I declare to the world that the law is good. I say it is good. And the word good here is the word excellent, beautiful.